Would you turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11? Hebrews chapter 11. We will look at a few verses this morning as we have time here together. Hebrews 11. We'll start in verse 6 here. But the title of my message this morning is Faith When You Cannot See the End. Faith When You Cannot See the End. And we have some examples here in Hebrews 11 of people who continued to trust in the Lord even when they knew they would not see God's plan played out in their lifetime. And they continued to trust all the way to the end, even though they would not see it themselves. And what if you never see the plan and purposes of God played out in your life? I want you to ask yourself that question. What if you personally never see the full plan of God and all of His purposes actually come to be in your lifetime? Will you still trust in the Lord? Our theme for this year is a time for courage, courageous faith in these days. And every time I review that theme in these last few weeks, I am so encouraged in God's providence. Last October, when we sat together as a pastoral team to kind of talk through 2020, and God led us to come to that conclusion with the theme being a time for courage and courageous faith. The first virus, from what I understand, was identified on November the 17th. And so before that, God directed in our hearts to plan something that we had no clue what would actually mean for us in 2020, but God did. And so I'm so encouraged that He is in control. And when I'm tempted to think that there is no God, and that if there is one, that He's not involved in the everyday affairs of man, things like this happen, where I'm brought back to the Word of God and what God has said, that He is absolutely alive and active in every part of our lives. And then, providentially, we see it played out where He directs our steps ahead of time, and He brings us to the point where we can trust Him in the moment of need. And so we chose this theme, courageous faith, because in verse 6, if you look in your Bibles, it says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please Him." A Christ follower in March of 2020, as we kind of conclude this month, you must have faith to please God. It is impossible to please Him without it. Now, faith is kind of like a muscle. If you exercise it and you use it, it grows and it gets stronger. But if you do not pay attention to it, and if you're not spending time using it, it actually weakens. And so my prayer for our church is that actually during this time of uncertainty and question, our faith is actually growing stronger in this moment of crisis and in this moment of really complete change. You must believe that He is, and you must believe that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. And we don't know what all that looks like in the here and now, but ultimately know that in the future, we will truly understand and our faith will be made sight. So what if in your lifetime, you never see the plan and purposes of God completely played out? Will you still trust Him? Will you have faith when you cannot see the end? What is faith? Just review here in verse 1, it tells us, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. And so we have a very clear description that there is, in the life of a believer, there is a solid confidence, an assurance of something that's going to happen in the future. And the three individuals that we're going to look at, that's what's being communicated in their story. In this text in Hebrews chapter 11, they had assurance that there was something future, even though in their lives they were never going to see it. So we're talking generations of Christ followers, of God-fearers, who trusted in God's word even though they would not see the end of the plan. But they had an assurance because God said it. And their trust and faith was so strong because it was that conviction, even though there were things that they would not see. And so faith is a sustained attitude. We keep trusting and we keep following even if we don't fully understand. If you would look back in the text where we'll focus today in verse 20, it says, "By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, even regarding the things to come. By faith, Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped leaning on top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel and gave orders concerning his bones." So we have three more examples of faith in what we call the Hall of Faith and in what we have been working through this year. We finished in Abraham last week, and Isaac was mentioned a little bit in that section, but specifically, we have here in verse 20, "by faith, Isaac." So we understand that we have another example for us today that we can look to understand what our lives should be like. And we are told that he was a man of faith. It says, by faith, he did certain things. Last week, we walked through the circumstance that Abraham came to and kind of that test where God asked him to take his son, the son that he knew would fulfill the promises of God, and sacrifice him. And I mentioned there that we don't exactly know Isaac's age. Some thought maybe younger. Others have said even in his 30s. But there must have been a belief from Isaac's perspective that he would actually go through with that process and be willing to be sacrificed himself. So most likely he was a man of faith even at a young age. And then we have, fast forward all the way to the end of his life, we are told that he continued trusting the Lord. It says, by faith, he blessed his sons. And so we have another example of just steady, ongoing faith, one step at a time. But the reality is, for these three men, they would never see the plan of God fully worked out in their life and God's purposes played out. Even though they knew the promise that God had given to Abraham, they continued to believe one step at a time all the way to the end. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau regarding things to come. So we understand that this is really the end of Isaac's life. And I'm going to turn, and if you'd like to join me there, in Genesis 25. Genesis 25, we have the story taking place. And you can look there in verse 23. "The Lord said to her, 'Two nations are in your womb. Two peoples will be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger.'" This is where I wanted to just kind of start, because there's not a lot of information here in Hebrews given to us about Isaac and then specifically his two sons, Jacob and Esau. If you're familiar with the Old Testament, some of you may be, some of you may not. There is a lot of detail here that I would encourage you perhaps to even study this week. But there was a situation where Jacob deceived his brother Esau so that he would receive the blessing. And again, in Hebrews 11, there's no mention of that deception. All it simply says was that Isaac continued in his faith and he blessed his sons. And so we understand that life gets kind of messy sometimes, and we make mistakes. We are sinful people, but God ultimately continues to accomplish his purposes even in the midst of our weaknesses and our mistakes. And what the writer of Hebrews is communicating to us is that the faith that we should have one step after the other is trusting our God. And so in God's providence, he allowed this deception. He allowed it to fit under all of his purposes. And yet with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the writer of Hebrews just simply says, by faith that Isaac blessed his sons. Now, we understand that Isaac was aware that he was the one that would then be the heir of Abraham, and the children of Israel would come from him. But he's at the end of his life, and he is not going to see it himself. Can you imagine knowing what God had said, because God specifically said to him that he would fulfill the promise through him, but he went to his deathbed, never seeing it accomplished. But it's true, according to the scriptures, that he believed so much in what God had said, even though he would never see it, that he continued to pass on to the next generation the promise of God. If you would look at Genesis 28 in verse 3 and 4, we have here the situation where it says, "May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may become a company of peoples. May he also give you the blessing of Abraham to you and your descendants with you, that you may possess the land and of your sojournings which God gave to Abraham." So many, many years after God had given the promise to Abraham, Abraham talked about that promise all of Isaac's life, and now here we are at the end of Isaac's life, and Isaac is saying, "May God bless you. May his word that he told Abraham and what I have believed all my life, may it come to be in your lifetime. May you be blessed by God." Amazing faith all the way to the end. Isaac did not let go of the promises of God. Now back in Hebrews 21, we have another example, the next generation. It says there, "By faith, Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, worshipped, and leaning on top of his staff." So we're going to fast forward now 75 to 100 more years, right? We've experienced the last 3 weeks, and we feel like it's been forever. But let's fast forward, like real time, 75 to 100 years later. The promise still that God had given to Abraham is still not come to be yet. And yet this generation, Jacob, still is clinging to the promises of God. And he is now at the end of his life. And Genesis 48 kind of explains the situation and kind of the story. It says, "Now it came about after these things that Joseph was told, behold, your father is sick. So he took his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, with him. And when it was told to Jacob, behold, your son Joseph has come to you, Israel collected his strength and sat up in his bed." So we have here a situation where we have given very little information about Jacob here in this particular context. But what the Holy Spirit wanted us to understand is that he had faith to believe even if his eyes would never see it. He would believe God all the way to the end, even if God's purposes never played out in his lifetime. That's the theme of these three verses. Strong faith, even if you cannot see the end. And we have example here where Jacob not only does what his father did to him, but he actually extends it to the next generation. So he has Joseph to give the blessing to, and then his grandchildren. He's now passing on to the next generation. So we have four generations of people here, of a family, where they were believing God's word, even though they never saw it come to be. They had such strong faith. It says there that he worshipped And all the way to the end, he was trusting and worshiping his God. And there's kind of a funny phrase in there. It says that he was leaning on the top of his staff. Why would that be included? And there's a lot of debate as to what this means. Actually, in the Hebrew, the same word for bed and staff, they have the same consonants. And so some would say that actually there were maybe some differences in the scribing of this. And it actually was meant that he sat up on his bed, which is what Genesis 48 says, that he sat up on his bed. But perhaps it was that his staff was there and he was leaning on the staff. And we understand that the staff was very important to him. Genesis 32, it helped him cross the Jordan as he was still a pilgrim. And so it could be that. But those details really are not the focus of the message. The focus of this text is that here we have another example of a person who just walked by faith all the way to the end of their life. And what they wanted to do was pass on to the next generation the promises of God. They were never going to see it. Jacob here was not going to see God establish the nation of Israel in his lifetime. But he was so confident in it that he said, Joseph, bring me your sons, and I will bless them as well. So even if it wasn't in Joseph's lifetime, it was perhaps be in his grandchildren's lifetime. He trusted the promises of God even when he could not see the end. And the last example in verse 22 of Hebrews is Joseph himself. It says there, by faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the sons of Israel and gave orders concerning his bones. And you're like, what in the world? Now we're talking about Joseph and his bones. Well, they were in Egypt at this time, but the promise was that they would inherit the land of Canaan and it would become the land of Israel that we know today in certain aspects. But there was this promise that they were continuing to cling to. So again, we fast forward several decades. We're talking multiple years. We fast forward in Joseph's life. And we have here at the end of his life, and the account is at Genesis 50, if you'd like to turn there. Genesis 50 in verse 24, it says, Joseph said to his brothers, I'm about to die, but God will surely take care of you and bring you up from this land to the land which he had promised an oath to Abraham. Again, time ticking away year after year, lifetime after lifetime. And what was characteristic of all these generations were their faith. It was their faith in God and his word and his promise, to the point where Joseph would come to the end of his life and he would, by faith, still believe, even though he's been separated from the land, he's been in Egypt, and he's at the end of his life. He doesn't see how it's going to be accomplished, but he was so confident that it would happen that he made his brother's promise that when the time would come where God would do this, that he wanted his bones brought back with the people that God had chosen. He wanted his bones to be brought back with them to the land which God said they would have and have his bones buried there. That is crazy faith. Because he had no idea when this would be. But he was so assured. His conviction was so strong, even though he personally would not see it. That's the definition of faith: assurance of things that are hoped for, a conviction of things that aren't seen. That was such a strong thing in Joseph's life. He said, wait, wait, wait. When this happens, when God's purpose and plan plays out, make sure you take my bones, what's left of my body, and you take it with you. Because I know God is going to fulfill his plan. He took God at his word. Again, he had faith when he couldn't see the end. All of them, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, they had faith when they couldn't see the end. And then we find out God actually did what he said he would do. He brought the children out of Egypt, and he did give them the land, and they did fulfill the promise to Joseph, because in Exodus 13 and verse 19, it says, when the people were getting ready to leave Egypt, Moses took Joseph's bones with them. Even though it was going to be a hard, long path, the bones of Joseph went with the children of Israel. And years later after that, when God had established them at the end of Joshua's life in 24 verse 32, it says, and the bones of Joseph were buried in Shechem, and this became the inheritance. Amazing faith from God's people when the years went by and they didn't know what was going to happen, but they knew God's word. They trusted God's word. And I realize that this has been a very difficult time for us. Something that we did not ever think would happen and has not happened in our lifetime. But some of us are really struggling with our faith to continue to believe, and it's only been a few weeks. And what we've experienced, some have experienced sickness, some have experienced loss. And that form, that's come in the form of financial loss and other kinds of loss with work. But ultimately, in the big picture of things, everything is still okay. And from what it looks like, we're going to get past it. We don't know the future. But most of the indicators are that this too will pass. And so we're probably going to see, in regards to this particular circumstance, how God's plan works out. We're going to see it in our lifetime. Imagine if we didn't. Imagine if we were to a point where we were at the end of our lives and we had no idea how it was going to happen and what God's plan would look like and his purposes and how they were going to be accomplished. Would you still trust him? I think these three examples are such an encouragement for us, because it kind of gives us such a big picture perspective. You know, we're kind of thinking like this and what's happened in the last month or so and what's going to happen in the next month or so. And sometimes our focus can get so small that we need a reminder, kind of a big picture view. Hey, this could be years. This could be decades. This could be centuries. And yet God is still in control. He's still accomplishing his plan. He's still accomplishing his purposes, but we may never see it. And that has to be okay. But is it? Is it really okay with you that you are now at a place where you don't know what's going to happen next? And are you still trusting him? Like rock solid confidence, like these men. Bring your sons, bring my grandsons. I so believe that God's going to do this, that I want you to follow him, and I want to bless you in this way, believing that God is going to fulfill his promise. This is the kind of faith that we need. We have history with God. We're a people of the book. We go all the way back to Adam and Eve. When they went away from God, they chose to sin, and God said, I will bring about redemption for you. I will send a Messiah. And if you will look to Messiah, turn from your sin, and look to Jesus Christ, you can be redeemed. And maybe there's someone here watching this morning that is in that situation where you've kind of experienced the events of the last few weeks, and it's caused you to think more about the end that is coming for you. It comes for all of us. And you're now starting to kind of be interested and think about things that are bigger than yourself, and you've tuned in this morning, and you're wondering, what is this faith? This faith is not some generic faith that everything's going to be okay. No, it's sourced in a person, the person of God. And that person was revealed in Jesus Christ when he came and he accomplished what God intended for him to accomplish through his death and resurrection. And if you would turn to him this morning, if you would confess your sin and look to Jesus Christ, he can save you today. And you can join the family of God and these ones who have gone before us years and years ago and live a life of courageous faith all the way to the end, even when you cannot see the plan of God completely worked out. That would be a glorious thing for us to know, that because of all of these things that have happened, someone came to the point where they truly thought seriously about the end of their life and what will happen. And you then follow through and obey the scriptures and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can do that today. He can save you. And for God's people, that we are just in a new season of life, walking through the journey, remember, we have history with God. He accomplished his plan and purposes in the children that went way before us, even though some of them never saw it. They present for us a wonderful example of how we should live each and every day. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." So tomorrow, we walk by faith, even though we cannot and probably won't see the full plan of God working out. We walk by faith. And we do it again on Tuesday and every day this next week, trusting God and his word that he is going to accomplish his purposes. We don't rely on our own understanding. We don't rely on our own strength, because as Joseph said, we are in his care. That's what I love about these blessings. When Joseph said, "I'm about to die, but God will surely take care of you." Do you believe that, my friend? God is taking care of you. And he is working to accomplish all of his will. And so you can trust him. Strengthen your faith in who he is, even during a time of crisis. And my encouragement to you this week, for all of those who are listening from Calvary Baptist Church and all of our friends who are listening elsewhere, let me encourage you to spend some time this week thinking about the promises of God. Take time in your personal reading and when you have a few extra moments to really focus in on what God has said, because we have to take him at his word. Even though we can't see what's happening, we can be assured that there is something better coming, and we can be convicted in our hearts that even though we don't see it, God is still there and he will bring it to pass. I want to give you three promises as we close this morning that I would love for you to cling to. Isaiah 40:29. The scripture says, "He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power." So if you're weary, if you're weak, trust the God who has said, and it is real, that he will strengthen you. He will give you power and strength. Isaiah 41:10, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God." What if everyone in our church this week took that promise and actually lived it out? Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. Because no doubt there's going to be new stories, there's going to be new events that are happening, new decisions will be made, and we don't know anything of that, what's going to happen, until it plays out in our lives. But how we can respond to that is clinging to the promises of God. Do not fear, I am with you. Don't anxiously look at what you can see. Trust what you can't see. Trust me. God is saying, I am here with you. I will take care of you. In Isaiah 54:10, "For though the mountains may be removed and the hills may shake, but my loving kindness will not be removed from you. And my covenant of peace will not be shaken, says the Lord who has compassion on you." Your God still has compassion on you. And even though, as the illustrations are, the mountains may move and the hills may shake, what will not change is the loving kindness of the Lord towards you. and his covenant of peace is still with you. And because of that, because of his great compassion and love for you, you don't have to be anxious about what you see. Have faith in what you don't see. And have faith all the way to the end, even if in your lifetime you never understand what God's plan and purposes look like. That's the faith that God is calling us to exercise in this time in 2020. A courageous faith. Faith when we cannot see the end. What if you never see what God was doing and what his plan is for you and all the purposes he has? What if you never see them played out? Will you still trust him? He wants you to. He wants you to take him at his word and believe it, so that no matter what we experience here in our circumstances, we don't move. Our anchor holds. We respond appropriately, and we trust in a sovereign God who's accomplishing all the things that he needs to accomplish his plan ultimately. Would you bow and pray with me as we conclude our time? Father God, thank you for the illustrations of people who lived before us, who walked by faith day in, day out, month after month, year after year. Not perfect people, full of sin, selfishness, but yet they continue to trust you and take you at your word all the way to the end of their lives, even when they could not see your plan worked out in their life. God, I pray that we would follow these examples, the examples of Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, and we would believe that you have something for us down the road that you have promised, and that's glorious heaven that awaits us. And so, Lord, help us not to anxiously look around for what we can't understand. Lord, help us to trust no matter what. Thank you that your loving kindness will never be removed from us. And even though the mountains and the hills may shake, you are always there. Your presence is there. You're helping us one step after the other. God, I pray for our church family at Calvary. I pray that our faith will grow stronger during this time of crisis, that we would see a big picture, that we would look to you, our God, who has wonderful things in store for us, and we would show the faith as it is described in Hebrews 11:1. It's an assurance, God, that you have something greater for us, and it's a conviction even though we do not see. Help us to walk by faith this week. In your holy and precious name I pray. Amen.